Now we are coming to the end of our program, and we are very blessed that our respected Sheikh Muhammad Salim Durrat Hafizahullah, he is present with us here today. Hazrat does not need any introduction. He is from the leading scholars, both nationally and internationally. One poet, he came here many years back, and he left some verses of poetry on the board in our boarding. I recall one of those verses in which he writes, to sum up the life of our respected Sheikh Hafizahullah, he says, Deen ki isha'at hai kaam unka, hai Muhammad Salim naam unka. He said, if I want to sum up this person's life, Deen ki isha'at hai kaam unka. He has spent his life day and night for the last 20 plus years in spreading deen, in educating the masses, in connecting people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in creating that belief in every single person, whoever it may be. He may be an alim, he may be a scholar, he may be a non-alim, black, white, rich, poor, that each person can become the special friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the mission of his life. Deen ki isha'at hai kaam unka, hai Muhammad Salim naam unka. Our elders, my dear brothers, they are leaving us day by day. Year by year we are getting news that this person has passed away, that person has passed away. It is in our interest that we make dua for all our elders. I request you to make dua for our respected Shaykh Hafizahullah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he accepts his services and khidmah, and he keeps his shadow upon the ummah for a very, very long time. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq to value his presence and the presence of all our elders and benefit from their teachings. I will now respect our respected Shaykh Hafizahullah to come forward and impart his words of advice. I request everyone to listen very attentively and take back whatever message is being given. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq.
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة، إن الله مع الصابرين. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. الله سبحانه وتعالى has sent us into this world for a temporary life. And there is another life to come, which is the hereafter, which is everlasting. In that everlasting life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created two abodes. One is known as Jannah and the other is known as Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Those people who accept Iman and who carry out good deeds, who carry out the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who abstain from the prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the people of Jannah. They will remain in Jannah forever and ever. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, and those people who reject Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who reject the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا, and who belie our ayat, our verses, أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ, they are the people of Jahannam, people of the fire. Hum fiha khalidun, they will remain in it forever and ever. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our prayers and grant us all entry into Jannatul Firdaus. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us refuge from the fire of Jahannam. In the hereafter there are two abodes, Jannat and Jahannam. In Jannat there is no grief. Jannat is full of happiness. From the time a person enters Jannah until eternity, forever and ever, there is nothing in Jannah but happiness. Happiness, comfort, enjoyment, luxury. Imam Ibn Majah rahimahullah ta'ala reports the hadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, wherein our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says that when the people of Jannah will enter Jannah, they will hear with their own ears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying to them, Assalamu alaykum ya ahlal Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will greet the people of Jannah. Assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you, O the people of Jannah. And then a time will come when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather us all together and He will say, Uhillu alaikum ridwani, fala askhatu alaikum ba'dahu abada. I am making a promise to you O the people of Jannah, that I will always remain happy with you. And I will never become unhappy. For eternity, I will always remain happy. I will never become unhappy. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ. In Jannah is whatever your hearts will desire. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ. In Jannah is whatever you will ask for. نُزُلًا مِّنْ غَفُورِ الرَّحِيمِ. It is a hospitality from Allah who is Ghafoorul Rahim. You are the guest and Ghafoorul Rahim is your host. أَعْدَدْتُ لِعِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحِينَ مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِيَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a hadith Qudsi that I have prepared for my salih servants, for my pious servants, those servants who carry out good deeds, and those servants who abstain from my prohibitions. And if they slip and enter a prohibition, then they immediately repent. I have prepared for such servants what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no heart and mind has thought of. So in Jannah there is nothing but happiness, there is nothing but comfort. And then a time will come when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will gather us all together and He will say, O my servants, hal azidukum shay'an, shall I, can I give you something more? Hal azidukum shay'an, can I give you something more? So the servants will say, O Allah, what more do we want? Have you not given us enough? You have given us more than enough, more than sufficient. Alam tubayyiz wujuhana, have you not enlightened our faces? Alam tudkhilna al-jannah, have you not granted us entry into Jannah? Alam tunajjina min al-nar, have you not granted us safety from the fire of Jahannam? Have you not granted us this? Have you not granted us this? You have granted us so much. What more can we ask from you? So in reply to this question from his servants, Allah will not say anything. Allah will not say anything. He will do something. He will not say anything, He will grant that gift. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَيَكْشِفُ الْحِجَابِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove the veil that will be lying between Him and the servants. And the servants will be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their own eyes. And our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that this is the greatest ni'mat of Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon us, upon the whole ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to sincerely repent in His court. And say to Him, from the depths of our hearts, that, O Allah, we have repented. Not we will repent. O Allah, we have repented. O Allah, we have submitted. From today, inshallah, we will try to learn your commands as much as possible. We will try to find out the do's and don'ts of Sharia. And we will strive, We will exert every effort to carry out the do's and abstain from the don'ts. And wherever and whenever we slip, O Allah, we will repent immediately. O Allah, we have repented. Accept our repentance and grant us entry into Jannah.
Amen.
And save us from the fire of Jahannam. Save us from the adversities of this world. Save us from the difficulties of this world. Save us from the difficulties of the grave. Save us from the difficulties of the day of Qiyamah. Save us from the difficulties of the Sirat. And grant us your refuge from the fire of Jahannam. Jannah is a place of comfort and Jahannam is the opposite. In Jannah there is no grief whatsoever and in Jahannam there is no comfort whatsoever. There is no happiness whatsoever. So in the afterlife we have two abodes. One is the markaz and one is the center of comfort and happiness. The other is the markaz and center of difficulties and grief. And in this life, there is only one abode, this worldly life. And in this world, we experience both grief and happiness. We experience both comfort and difficulties. Comfort, discomfort, health and sickness, honor and disgrace, wealth and poverty, youth and old age. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us through our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through his kalam, that in order for one to acquire safety from the fire of Jahannam, which is the place of grief, and for one to secure a place in Jannah, which is the place of happiness and comfort, one has to strive in this world. So this world is Darul Amal and the hereafter is Darul Jaza. This is where we strive and that is where we are rewarded. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala says in a few couplets, لا دار للمرء بعد الموت يسكنها إلا التي كانت قبل الموت يبنيها فإن بناها بخير طاب مسكنه وإن بناها بشر خاب بانيها. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi says, لا دار للمرء بعد الموت يسكنها. There is no abode for a person to live in the afterlife. After death there is no home for a person in which he can reside, but that home which he constructs whilst he is in this world. So if a person leaves this world without striving in this world and he decides to construct a good house, a good accommodation, secure a good place in Jannah, in the hereafter he will not be able to do that. He has to do whatever he desires in this world. There is no home, la dara, there is no home lil mar'e, for a person badal mauti, after death, in which he will be able to live, illa allati kanat qabla al mauti yabniha, but that home which he constructs whilst he is here in this world. Now he has two choices. Either he constructs the home of the hereafter with bricks of khair or bricks of shar. فَإِن بَنَاهَا بِخَيْرٍ, if he constructs his home of the hereafter with khair, with amal-e saliha, with goodness, تَابَ مَسْكَنُهُ, then his home will be very nice. Allah will grant him a grand mansion with so many bounties and favors. وَإِن بَنَاهَا بِشَرٍ, and if he constructs this house with shar, with bad deeds, with disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, خَابَ بَانِيهَا, then the one who constructs this house will be a loser in the hereafter. Why? Because the one who constructs his home with khair, Allah will grant him an abode in Jannah. And the one who constructs his home with shar, Allah will grant him an abode in the fire of Jahannam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into this world, my friends, to prepare for the life hereafter. And the Quran and our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has in detail, or certain detail, has given descriptions of the abode of the hereafter, both abodes of the hereafter, the place of grief and the place of happiness, Jannah and Jahannam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created reasons of grief in this world and reasons of happiness in this world. So we can experience grief and happiness in this world. And as a result, take a firm decision that if in significant griefs of this world I am unable to bear, and if in significant pleasures of this world I enjoy, then what will be the condition of the grief of the hereafter, and what will be the condition of the happiness of the hereafter? Therefore, I need to strive to acquire safety from the grief of the hereafter and to acquire the happiness of the hereafter. So in this world, every person experiences both happiness and grief. Happiness and grief. Happiness and grief. There are thousands of people here today in this 26th annual youth conference organized by the Islamic Dawah Academy, Leicester, UK. You ask anybody, you will not find a single person who will say that from birth until now I have seen nothing but happiness, or who says from birth till now I have seen nothing but grief. Every person will say, I have experienced both grief and happiness, grief and happiness, grief and happiness. And it is through this grief and happiness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us to remember the grief of Jahannam, to remember the happiness of Jannah, and prepare for the life hereafter. And it is this grief and this happiness which becomes a test for us. These are the tests of life, and it is through these tests we prepare for the life hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given two commands. Command number one, if you experience happiness, be grateful to me. And if you experience grief, any type of adversity, any type of difficulty, any type of pain, then you exercise patience. Shukr and sabr, these are the two wheels of the motorbike that will lead us to Jannah, inshallah. Shukr and sabr. So before this verse that I have recited in the khutbah, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah inna Allaha ma'as-sabirin, Allah says, fadhkuruni adhkurkum washkuruli wala takfurun. So he mentions shukr and sabr together. Waskuruni, be grateful to me. Wala takfurun, do not be ungrateful to me. And istainu bis sabri was salah. And remain patient in the face of adversities. Hold fast to sabr. Sabr and shukr. One who is able to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and one who is able to exercise sabr, he is from the people of Jannah. He is from the awliya. He is from the perfect mu'minin, perfect believers. He is a complete Muslim. And how can shukra and sabr come in our lives? Fadkuruni yadkurkum. Fazkuruni yazkurukum. So for success, the two fundamental items is shukra and sabr. And the key to shukra and sabr is fazkuruni. Remember me. Remember me, because when you remember me, I will remember you. Remember me. And there are various ways of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the heart and mind. So the tongue is not remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The tongue is talking about business, talking about politics, talking about sickness, illness. The tongue is busy with worldly matters, but the heart and the mind is so much connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the heart and mind never becomes neglectful of the Creator. This is the highest form of zikr which Allah desires from us. Abu Usman al-Nahdi rahimahullah ta'ala, a great luminary, he used to say to those around him that when I know when Allah remembers me, I know when Allah is remembering me. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that you remember me, I will remember you, that does not mean that Allah is like humans, that he forgets people and when people remember him, he suddenly remembers that person. No, Allah never forgets anybody. Allah never forgets anybody. The tafsir of this part of the verse is that fadhkuruni, you remember me with obedience. You remember me with obedience and I will remember you with bounties. I will shower bounties upon you. So when we say, when Allah says fadhkuruni, you remember me, that means you obey me. Adkurkum, at that moment I will remember you with bounties. That means I will remember to give you bounties. I will give you bounties. Fadhkuruni bitta'ati, adkurkum bil inayati. So Abu Usman al-Nahdi rahmatullahi alayhi used to say that I know when Allah is remembering me. I know when Allah is showering His bounties upon me. So people said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers His bounties upon His servants, but there are so many bounties which we cannot feel that Allah is showering upon us. So how do you know that Allah is remembering you and is showering His bounties upon you? So he used to say that when Allah grants me the tawfiq and when He guides me to remember Him, then I know that He is remembering me. When He gives me the tawfiq to remember Him, I know that He is remembering me. Allah says, فَذْكُرُونِ يَذْكُرْكُمْ. And when a person reaches this high level of zikr, this is the highest level of zikr, when a person reaches this high level of zikr, that he is continually in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So some people have said that there are three types of zikr. One is zikr-e-qalbi. Zikr-e-qalbi is that a person remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his heart and mind. The other zikr is zikr-e-lisani. that a person remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his tongue. So he's saying subhanallah, 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 subhanallah after the salat. He's reading Tasbih-e-Fatimi. Each person should make resolutions today, my friends. This conference will only be regarded a successful conference if I and you and everybody listening leave from this conference with resolutions that yes, I want to do this from today. I will do this from today. Resolutions. So one resolution is that we have repented. And from now, inshallah, we will try our utmost to do only those things which please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will try our utmost to abstain from those things that displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we do anything, if we slip, overcome by shaitan, overcome by nafs, if we slip, and if we do something that displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will immediately turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we will say sorry. We will say, Allah forgive me. I have made an error.
Amen.
And it is much more easier to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than to please a creation of his. If father becomes unhappy, it's very difficult. If mom becomes unhappy, very difficult. If wife becomes unhappy, very difficult. If husband becomes unhappy, very difficult. Friend becomes unhappy, very difficult. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu Akbar, Allah, you commit the gravest of sins. You commit shirk, Allahu Akbar, shirk. Shirk, idolatry. Kufr, disbelief. And then you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a regretful heart. And you do not utter a single word. Just your heart is speaking to Allah with regret that, oh Allah, I have made a big error. Forgive me, I will never do this again. And in seconds Allah forgives. In seconds Allah forgives. And Allah loves those people who ask from Him. Allah loves those people who ask from Him. And Allah becomes unhappy from those people who do not ask from Him. And the more you ask from Him, the more He becomes happy. The bigger things you ask from Him, the more He becomes happy. And especially when a person turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he repents, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allama Alusi Baghdadi rahimahullah ta'ala quotes a hadith Qudsi in his tafsir that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لأمين المذنبين أحب إلي من زجل المسبحين. My servants are of two categories, the pious and the irreligious. So what will the pious do? The pious will recite istighfar, because the pious also recite istighfar, because istighfar is not recited only to acquire forgiveness. There are so many other benefits of istighfar. It is for this reason our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam would recite istighfar more than 100 times a day. Inni la atubu ilallahi wa astaghfiru akthar min mi'ati marratin, aw kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the sahaba rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in say that we would count Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say dozens of times in one gathering, one place, Rabbi ighfirli wa tub alayya innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, accept my tawbah. Because you are the one who is merciful and who accepts tawbah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was masoom. All anbiya are immune from sins. So why would Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make istighfar? Why would Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam make tawbah? Because there are other benefits of istighfar and tawbah. So the pious people also read istighfar. But because they are pious, they have recognized Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they mostly engage in tasbih, subhanallah, subhanallah. In tahmeed, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. In takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. in tahleel, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the irreligious people, those servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who commit sins after sins, when they come on a Friday, or when they raise their hands in supplication, what is at the top of the list? Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me. When they attend conferences such as these, and when dua is made, what is at the top of their list? Istighfar. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me. During Shab-e-Qadr, during the month of Ramadan, when they are in Haramain Sharifain, Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwara, what is at the top of their list? Istighfar, istighfar, istighfar. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this Hadith-e-Qudsi that when pious servants engage in tasbih, subhanallah, 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 and on the other side, the irreligious servants, when they engage in istighfar and crying, oh Allah, forgive me, oh Allah, forgive me, and they begin to weep, and the noise that is heard when a person is weeping and asking for forgiveness is known as aneen. Aneen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that on one side, I hear the tasbih of the pious, and on the other side, I hear the aneen of the sinners. Which is more beloved to me? He says that the aneen of the sinners is more beloved to me than the tasbih of the pious. My friends, make a resolution that I will never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tell yourself, how can I disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has created me, who has granted me existence from nothing? I was nothing, He granted me existence. And after existence, He did not make me blind. He did not make me deaf. He did not make me dumb. I am not disabled. I am not mentally disabled. I am fit, healthy, young, vigor of youth, nice parents, nice wife, nice children, so many blessings around me. How can I disobey my Creator? Tell yourself, how can I? The greatest benefactor for every human is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That should be the goal of every moment. Despite knowing that I will sleep, I will never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if I do, if I sleep, and if I disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the second resolution is that in my own way, if I am not learned, if I feel that I am an ignorant person as far as deen is concerned, I am an illiterate person as far as deen is concerned, how can I say, oh Allah, forgive me? No, my friends, in your own way. Allah does not look at your actions, Allah looks at your hearts. He looks at your sincerity, the grief that you are experiencing, the regret that you are experiencing. Turn to Allah, my friends, turn to Allah and say, oh Allah, forgive me. I made a firm resolution at the conference at the Islamic Dawah Academy, but only 6 hours have passed and I have slept. Oh Allah, forgive me. Allah will forgive you. Allah will forgive you. Allah will forgive you. And 2 hours passes, we commit another sin, we turn to Allah again. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, every time we make a mistake, after every 1 hour, after every 5 hours, after every 10 minutes, after every 5 minutes, after every 1 minute, whenever we make a mistake, we will always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And we will say to Allah, whether the heart and the mind supports us or not, with our tongue we will say, oh Allah, I will not do this again. Continue with this cycle of taqwa and tawbah, abstaining from sinful activities and thereafter repenting if a sin is committed. My friends, a time will come after 3 months or after 6 months or after 1 year, you will find abstaining from sins very easy. And a time will come through the barakah of tawbah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create a barrier between ourselves and sinful activities. Shaitan puts this thought in our minds that I repented, not at the Islamic Dawah Academy, I have repented many times before as well. I repented when I went for Umrah, and when I returned, I thought that I was going to be a completely changed person. But no, after 5 days, I was the same person again. I went for 40 days, when I returned, same thing happened. I went to the Khanqah of my Shaykh and spent 10 days with my Shaykh. When I returned, same resolution. But Tawbah, again, I could not persevere. I failed all the time. And a time comes when Shaitan misleads us and he brainwashes us and he motivates to think in this direction, that what's the point of Tawbah when I know I will not be able to persevere. Therefore, there is no need to make Tawbah. Shaitan knows that the person who continually makes Tawbah, the person who continually repents within year or 1.5 year, 6 months, Allah will create a barrier between him and sinful activities. So Shaitan will never let us continue with Tawbah. Today make a firm resolution that you will defeat Shaitan as far as Tawbah is concerned. Let me give you one example to understand the benefits of Tawbah. If a person continually makes Tawbah with sincerity, Allah will safeguard him from sins in the future. Allah will change his life. But let us assume that a person is making Tawbah for 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, no change has come in his life. Despite that, I want to explain to you the benefits of Tawbah. Let's take an example of two people. Two good friends hang around together, same bad habits. For 60 years, 70 years, 80 years, they do exactly the same thing. Assuming, two people, Zaid and Amr. Zaid knocks on the door of Amr, Amr knocks on the door of Zaid every day in the evening. They sleep till afternoon, like idle youngsters do. They return in the morning, go to sleep, and they don't wake up till 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. They have lunch and they leave the family, they leave the home. This is not a life of a Muslim. Never mind the Muslim, my friends. This is not a life of a human. Even a human does not live like this. The person who lives a life of carelessness has become an animal. The person in whose heart there is no place for anybody, no feeling for anybody. Only one thing, my desires, me. That is a sign that this person has become an animal. He has no feeling for the feelings of his mother. He does not pay attention to the feelings of his father. The two people who he owes everything to. The two people who he owes everything to. No feeling. No feeling for siblings, no feeling for brothers, no feeling for sisters, no feeling towards the family. No. Me. I want to enjoy this pleasure. I will enjoy that pleasure at the cost of everything. This is not human. Animal. أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ وَيَتَمَتَّعُونَ كَمَا تَأْكُلُ الْأَنْعَامُ وَالنَّارُ مَثْوًى لَّهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that those people who eat and drink and enjoy worldly and lawful pleasures, just like the cattle, what will be their end result? وَالنَّارُ مَثْوًى لَّهُمْ. Their abode will be the fire of Jahannam. My young friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has enlightened our hearts with the greatest of blessings, Iman. And those of us who are immersed in sins, how much do we owe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that despite our so many sinful activities, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us the tawfiq to participate in such deeni gatherings. Is this not a sign that Allah loves you and me? Is this not a message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh my servant, I am calling you towards me, walk towards me, run towards me. Inna Allah ta'ala yaqbalu tawbat al-abdi. Inna Allah ta'ala yabsutu yadahu bil-layla liyatuba musi'un nahar. Wa inna Allah ta'ala yabsutu yadahu bil-nahari liyatuba musi'un layl. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls his servant from sunset to dawn. From which servant? Allah calls that servant of his who has been sinning from dawn till sunset. Allah calls him from sunset to dawn, that, oh my servant, come to me, come to me, come, ask for forgiveness, I want to forgive you. I am waiting to compromise with you. And that servant who was committing sins from sunset to dawn, Allah waits for him from dawn till sunset. So two young men wake up at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, knock on each other's door, they leave the home, they oppress people, they harass people, and they engage in so many disobediences to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Heinous crimes. And both of them return 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning. And both of them go to sleep in their own homes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so kind to his believing servants that despite all heinous crimes, whenever this criminal, this sinful person goes into seclusion, the thought of repenting enters his heart. Allah always knocks at his door, oh my servant, repent. So Zaid puts his head on the pillow, Amra puts his head on the pillow, both of them are on their own. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires both of them with this same thought, that for how long? For how long? For how long? Amr ignores the thought and he goes to sleep. And Zaid does not ignore the thought. Zaid says, oh Allah, forgive me. Forgive me. I am making a firm resolution that tomorrow I will not go with Amr. I am not a good company for him. He is not a good company for me. And from tomorrow I will obey you. Comes the following day, Amr knocks at his door and Zaid is overcome by his nafs, pushed by shaitan, and he goes with Amr. And this continues for 60 years, 70 years, 80 years. There is no difference between the two. Both of them are engaged in the same activities. The only difference is that Amr does not repent and Zaid repents daily. And after 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, according to the principle and according to the effect of Tawbah, Zaid within 1 year, 1.5 years would have changed his way. But I am just to explain to you the benefits of Tawbah, assuming that both of them, no change came in their lives. After 70 years, 80 years, both of them return home at 3 o'clock in the morning, both of them lie down, Amr goes to sleep without repenting, Zaid goes to sleep with repentance, and both of them die during their sleep. As far as the human eye can see, as far as the intellect can understand, there is no difference between the two. Except that one was not repenting, one was repenting sincerely. What will be the final outcome? Amr will go straight to the fire of Jahannam with heaps of sins, sins of 60, 70, 80 years. And Zaid will go straight into Jannah because there is no sin in his account. He was repenting daily. Both of them committed the same crimes. One was repenting, the other was not repenting. One will go in Jannah, the other will go in Jahannam. I am not saying that a person makes this intention that I will continue to commit sins for 60 years and every day I will try to fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. No. Is this how we should behave with somebody who is very, very merciful? No, my friend. We try our utmost. We try our utmost. We try our utmost. And then if we slip, we turn to Allah and we say, "Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me." So let us make resolutions, my friends. Let us make resolutions. We will make tawbah, inshallah. And we will make a firm resolution that no more sin. Sin is committed, we will repent. And in order to make us strong against sinful attractions, we will do certain things. We will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the tongue continually, or as much as possible. At least 100 times kalima-i-tayyiba daily. With love, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. 100 times istighfar, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. 100 times salat ala nabi, durud paak, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And whenever the thought of Allah enters our heart, we say, "Oh Allah, forgive my sins, and oh Allah, make me from the pious. Oh Allah, grant me the tawfiq to tread that path which will take me to Jannah and which will save me from your anger and from Jahannam." And we will try our utmost to stay away from wrong environment, wrong company, stay in good environment and good company. So this is the first resolution. Tawbah, taqwa and tawbah. We will stay away from sinful activities. If sins are committed or sin is committed, we will repent immediately. Even if we have to repent every minute. Another resolution is Tasbih Fatimi. Inshallah, after every salat, we will read 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, and 34 times Allahu Akbar. And also before going to sleep, we will read Tasbih Fatimi. 33 times Subhanallah, 33 times Alhamdulillah, 34 times Allahu Akbar. So Tasbih Fatimi is Subhanallah, 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 Subhanallah. So after this salat, a person is reciting Subhanallah, 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 Subhanallah. So that the tongue is engaged in zikr, but the heart and mind is somewhere else. Because we have come for salat with our friends. Zaid is somewhere in the masjid, Amar is somewhere in the masjid, Bakar is somewhere in the masjid, Ibrahim is somewhere in the masjid. And we had a program of meeting again after Salat and going somewhere. So Tasbih Fatimi is Subhanallah, 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 Subhanallah. So the tongue is remembering Allah and the heart and mind is remembering Ibrahim, Ismail, Zaid, Amr and Bakr. Somebody asked Abu Usman al-Nahdi rahimahullahu ta'ala, what is the point of this zikr? That the tongue is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the heart is not, mind is not. What is the point of that zikr? This question comes in our mind also. What is the point of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the tongue when the heart and mind is with somebody else? Abu Usman al-Nahdi rahmatullahi alayhi said, this is also a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enters the heart through the door of the tongue. So the tongue is the door. If you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala excessively with the tongue, a time will come when your heart and mind will connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Usman al-Nahdi rahmatullahi alayhi answered and he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you two organs, two limbs to remember Him. One is the heart and the second is the tongue. Be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that only one is negligent. The other is remembering Allah. Don't be ungrateful and don't say that what's the point of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the tongue. No, this is being ungrateful. Be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that only the heart is negligent and the tongue is not negligent. And when a person is grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he continues with the remembrance of the tongue, Allah will increase His favor, because Allah promises, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you are grateful, I will increase your favor, and the heart will also remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, zikr al-lisani, Zikr-e lisani is the remembrance of the tongue. Zikr-e qalbi is the remembrance of the heart and the mind. Heart and the mind is same thing. Heart is the hard disk. Heart is the computer. Heart is the computer and the mind is the monitor. So what is in the heart comes in the mind. So heart and the mind. This is zikr-e qalbi. And the third is zikr-e hali. Zikr-e hali means that when your heart and mind become zakir, then every hal and every condition of yours will be in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the highest form of zikr is zikr-e hali. Thereafter zikr-e qalbi. The highest form of zikr is zikr-e hali, where you are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every condition. Thereafter zikr-e qalbi and zikr-e lisani both together. Thereafter zikr-e qalbi and thereafter zikr-e lisani. But zikr-e lisani is the door, is the first step. Zikr-e lisani will take us to zikr-e qalbi, and that will take us to zikr-e qalbi and zikr-e lisani, and that will take us to zikr-e hali. So Allah says, "Fazkuruni azkurkum," remember me. Because when you remember me, then as a result of remembering me, you will always be grateful to me and you will always exercise patience. The two fundamental tests of life. When Allah gives a favor, is he grateful to me or not? And when Allah afflicts a person, is he patient or not? Through the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through the remembrance, when the heart becomes zakir, then a person is alert all the time and he realizes that I am in favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and as a result of this he will be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I am afflicted, he will be patient. And then there are two categories of people as far as sabr is concerned. When afflicted, the first category of those people who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those who will exercise patience, perseverance, and they will say that whatever I am experiencing is the decree of my Creator. I am experiencing difficulty, I am experiencing inconvenience, I am experiencing hardship. So I am asking my Creator to remove this difficulty, remove this hardship, remove this difficulty. But for as long as it remains with me, I will remain happy with the decree and decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is sabr. This is sabr. This is sabr. A person can feel the pain. A person can also talk about the pain to other people. He can talk to the doctor, I have a very severe headache. He can tell his wife that I am going through a very stressful phase and I am experiencing anxiety. You can talk about your problems, you can talk about your pain. The only thing that is required in sabr is that your tongue does not utter a word which is against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why me? Why have I been afflicted? No, he says, oh Allah, I am experiencing difficulty. Remove this grief. Remove this difficulty. Oh Allah, have mercy on me. Oh Allah, I am in a lot of pain. But if this is your decision, I am happy. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, when his young son Ibrahim radiyallahu ta'ala anhu passed away, beloved son, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam was grieved. So he felt the grief in his heart. And tears began rolling on his cheeks. But sabr was there. Because he accepted the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is normal and natural for a human to feel the pain of separation from a beloved. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, explaining sabr, said to his sahaba, that he said, إِنَّ الْعَيْنَ تَدْمَعْ وَالْقَلْبَ يَحْزَنْ. The eyes are shedding tears and the heart is experiencing grief. But this is not against sabr. وَلَا نَقُولُ إِلَّا مَا يُرْضِي رَبَّنَا but we will only utter those words which will make our Creator happy. This is sabr. If a person is afflicted and he experiences this feeling that he wants to come out of it, he wants this difficulty to be removed, but he is happy with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he is a sabir. And there are other people whom when afflicted, they become shakir. Shakir. A person is experiencing headache, so the sabir will say, "Oh Allah, remove this pain. Oh Allah, remove this pain. Oh Allah, remove this headache. Oh Allah, remove this headache." But for as long as it remains, I am happy with your decision, with your decree. And what will a shakir say? A shakir will say, "Oh Allah, I am grateful to you that I am suffering with a headache only. There are so many people in the world who are suffering with cancer." So as a person progresses in spirituality, his condition will change. Sabir and Shakir. If a person when afflicted with a calamity sees himself as a Sabir, then there are glad tidings for him. And when a person sees himself as a Shakir, there are glad tidings for him also. What are the glad tidings? When a Sabir sees himself as a Sabir, then that is a sign that Allah loves him. And as a result of this pain and difficulty, Allah is forgiving his sins. And when a person sees that he is not sabir, he is shakir, that is a sign that there are no bad deeds in his book of deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this difficulty is elevating his status. Shukr and sabr. For shukr and sabr, one has to be zakir. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioning sabr says, "Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sta'inu bis sabri was salah." O you who believe, seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through sabr and salah. The commentators of the Quran say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention the problem. He did not say that seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through sabr and salah in this problem. He does not mention the problem. He just says seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through sabr and salah. The question is seek Allah's help through sabr and salah in which problem? The commentators of the Quran say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention the problem to indicate that any problem. So sabr and salah are the solutions to every problem. Every problem. Problem related to health, problem related to money, problem related to home, problem related to married life, problem, individual problem, collective problem, any problem. Istainu bisabri wassalah. There is only one being who controls the universe and who is able to remove every difficulty. If you require that being's help and assistance, then you have to do two things, sabr and salah. Istainu bisabri wassalah. Istainu bisabri wassalah. Seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance through sabr and salah. And sabr, the ulama have said sabr means habsun nafs. Sabr means to control your nafs, to withhold your nafs. Sabr means to control your nafs. And there are three places where a person needs to control his nafs. There are three places. So when a person is able to control his nafs in these three places, he will be sabir in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he will acquire all the virtues that Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have mentioned for those people who exercise sabr. Sabr is to withhold your nafs, control your nafs. And there are three places where a person needs to control his nafs. When he is faced with an adversity, when he is faced with a difficulty. A person is suffering from cancer. The doctor has just declared to him that you have cancer. A person loses his job. The person with cancer begins to think about so many things. What will happen to my wife? What will happen to my children? If he is religious oriented, what will happen to me in the grave? What if I die suddenly? So a person is overcome with anxiety. And his nafs compels him to do so many things that he should not be doing. Cry, complain, make noise, become frustrated. That is when a person needs to control his nafs. And this sabr is known to all of us. Whenever we say that, brother, exercise sabr. Brother, exercise sabr. This is the only meaning we have. That exercise patience when faced with a challenge, when faced with a difficulty. But there are other two places also when a person has to control his nafs. So when you are faced with a challenge, control your nafs. Control your nafs. If your young child passes away, control your nafs. And do only that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala desires. Say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says that whenever a person is struck with calamity or difficulty and he says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him reward. And number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will in the near future or later grant him a better substitute. So whenever we are faced with a difficulty, when Allah takes something away from us, we should be happy with his decision and we should say, number one, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And number two, we should say, Allahumma jurni fi musibati hadihi. Oh Allah, reward me in this difficulty of mine. I will exercise patience, reward me. Wa akhlifli khayram minha, and substitute me with something which is better. The narrator of this hadith is Umm Salama radiyallahu ta'ala anha. Normally when we hear that somebody has passed away, we say Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That is the only place we say Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. What we need to do, we need to change two habits. Habit number one, whenever we hear a bad news, we should always say Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Any bad news, not only somebody is passing away. And the second habit we need to change is that we should not say Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un only. We should read this second dua also. Allahumma jurni fi musibati hadihi. Oh Allah, grant me reward as a result of my patience in this difficulty of mine. Wa akhlifli khayram minha, and give me something which is better than what I have lost. Umm Salama radiyallahu anha is the narrator of this hadith, and she says that I had heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teach us this dua with this benefit. So when Abu Salama radiyallahu anhu, my husband, passed away, I recited this dua. Allahumma jurni fi musibati hadihi wa akhlif li khayran minha. And she says that I had so much love for Abu Salama radiyallahu anhu, and he was such a good man, that I thought to myself that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that one who recites this dua, Allah will give that person a better substitute. Who can be better than Abu Salama? So I knew that what Allah has promised will happen, but I was curious that there is, I don't know any man who has more better qualities than Abu Salama. Allah will substitute me with a better man. Who is that man going to be? And she said that after a few months, I was proposed by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us Muslims, mu'mins, so many beneficial pearls, items, tools to acquire success of this world and the hereafter, but we are not utilizing it. So, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, Allah grants reward and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give a better substitute. And if a person doubles his prayer and he says, Allahumma jurni fi musibati hadihi wa akhlif li khayram minha, then the promise is doubled. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, ulaika alayhim salawatum min rabbihim wa rahma wa ulaika humul muhtadun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants such people who exercise sabr in the face of challenges and who don't not become frustrated, who don't complain, why Allah has put me in this situation. They say, inna lillah, we belong to Allah, everything I have belongs to Allah, He can take what He wants, He can give what He wants. Wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and we will not live in this world forever. These difficulties will remain temporarily. A time is going to come when we will return to the Creator and Allah will reward us with Jannah. What will Allah grant them in this very world? Allah will grant them three things: Salawat, Rahmah and Hidayah. Salawat, special mercies and bounties. Rahmah, general mercy. Special mercy, general mercy. If a 100 people are invited in a prize giving ceremony and they are to be presented with awards, so they will be given a general gift. Everybody will be given a general gift, that is lunch or supper. Lunch or supper at the time of award. So Rahmah is the general gift which everybody will get. And then each person's award will be according to his performance. So Salawat is the special bounty and special mercy which will be given to each person according to his efforts and according to the level of sabr that he exercises. So special mercies and bounties will be given, general mercies and bounties will be given, and Hidayah will be given to those people who exercise sabr. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ma li abdil mu'min indi jaza'un idha qabastu safiyahu min ahli dunya illa al-jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whenever I take away a beloved from my servant, my mu'min servant, my believing servant, whenever I give birth to somebody who is very beloved to this person, and then this person exercises sabr with the intention of acquiring sawab in the hereafter, fa'ta sabr, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the only reward I have for him is the whole Jannah. I give him Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a hadith Qudsi, إِذَا ابْتَلَيْتُ عَبْدِي بِحَبِيبَتَيْهِ, whenever I turn a person blind, right from birth or later on in his life, whenever I make a person blind or whenever I turn a person blind, فَسَبَرَ, and he exercises patience. He controls his nerves, he does not complain. A young man in his late teens or early 20s, he lost his eyesight. He was a perfectly normal person. In his late teens or early 20s, he lost his eyesight. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala look after all such vulnerable people. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them the tawfiq to do sabr, and this is also a means from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them to acquire Jannah easily. People like Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, they lost their eyesight in the latter part of their lives and they exercised sabr.
So this young man, imagine late teens or early 20s. So he came to meet me. Somebody arranged a meeting between me and him. We met. I can still remember that the weather was good, so we sat in the garden of the Islamic Dawah Academy on the benches there. And I was a bit worried about him, that he is in his late teens, early 20s. Shaitan and nafs can mislead such people. That what have I done that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose me for this calamity? But when I met him, there was a big smile on his face. I could not see any worry or anxiety. And one of the things he said to me was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken my eyesight, and alhamdulillah, he is also giving me the tawfiq to look at it positively. I am happy that from now I will not be able to commit sins of the eyes.
Allah Akbar.
Remember one thing, my friends, Allah does not take away anything from us. He only gives. He takes away two eyes. He says that when I test my servant by taking away his eyes, and then he exercises patience. He says, I am happy with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do I give him? Only for that sabr. Everything else is bonus. I grant him Jannah. فَأَوَسْتُهُ مِنْهُمَا الْجَنَّةِ. So has he taken something or has he given something? He has taken eyes and given Jannah, guaranteed. So this is one type of sabr, one type of controlling the nafs. The other type of controlling the nafs, controlling the nafs. Sabr is to control your nafs, to withhold your nafs. The other type is to control your nafs when the opportunity to sin arises. Control your nafs when the opportunity to commit sin arises. We are walking in the street and the opportunity to engage in evil glance, evil gaze. At that time to control the nafs and lower the gaze. This is sabr. This is the first is called sabr ala musiba, which is well known to everybody. This is also sabr. This is also controlling the nafs. And the third is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to do something. For example, Fajr Salah, perform Fajr Salah. Then to control your nafs and push yourself to go to the masjid and perform Salat, this is also sabr. This is sabr ala ta'at. Who is a true sabir? A true sabir is not that person who exercises sabr in the face of challenges. A true sabir is he who exercises sabr when he is faced with challenges. He exercises sabr when he has to abstain from sins, and he exercises sabr when he has to carry out a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one who carries out all three types of sabr is known as sabir. And regarding such people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ السَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give such sabirin their recompense in full without reckoning. Allama ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala says that on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself will announce, where are the sabirin? Where are the sabirin? And what is the meaning of sabirin again? Those who exercise sabr when facing challenges. Those who control their nafs when the opportunity of committing sins arose. And those who control their nafs and carried out the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where are the sabirin? Allama ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that these people will stand up. The people who had three sabr in their lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, go in Jannah without any reckoning. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu istainu bis sabri was salah. O you who believe, acquire the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through sabr and salah. Through sabr and salah. I wanted to discuss sabr in a bit more detail and also salah, but time does not permit me. So I am concluding now. Sabr. Sabr. Individual sabr, collective sabr. Let us exercise sabr. Whenever we are faced with any difficulty, or whenever the time to carry out the do's or abstaining from the don'ts arise, you must remain firm. Remaining firm is sabr. And seek the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through salah. Salah is already part of sabr. Because sabr is to control your nafs and carry out the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So salah is already part of sabr. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the most important aspect of sabr, that is salah. Because when a person is sick, he will exercise sabr for how long? 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe a month, 2 months, sometimes in the latter stages of life for 3 years. As far as salah is concerned, you need sabr every day. Sabr at the time of fajr. Sabr means controlling the nafs. Controlling the nafs at the time of fajr, at the time of zuhr, at the time of asr, at the time of maghrib, at the time of isha. Then once in the masjid, and when once performing the salah, again sabr. There are so many things which are unlawful, but you cannot do in salah. So you have to exercise sabr. You have a friend right next to you, and you want to say something to him, but you can't, because you have to exercise sabr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned salah specifically. Listen very carefully. Salah specifically. Because that is the greatest part of sabr. Salah. And when a person gets control over salah, when a person gets control over salah, he will have control over all the do's and don'ts of the sharia. When a person has control over salah, he will have control over all the do's and don'ts of sharia. The Quran says, "Inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar." Salah prevents a person from immoral acts, from shameful acts, from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person performs his salat properly, in the whole Quran and in the ahadith, we find the word performing salah less. We find the word establishing salah. And establishing salah means to perform salah with all its faraid, with all its wajibat, with all its sunan, with all its mustahabbat, with all its adab, and with full concentration. When a person is able to exert effort and make his salat reach this high quality, then the effect of salah will appear, and he will soon see that the whole deen has become easy for him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentioned salah, my friends. So this is another resolution we need to make. That inshallah we will remain patient, and we will persevere in all the three types of sabr, especially salah. Let us make this firm resolution that inshallah we will perform 5 times salah regularly in its mustahab time with jama'ah. Performing salat with jama'ah in its mustahab time is sunnah muakkada for the men. So for men, they must come to perform salah in the masjid. This is the seed which will grow that the whole fruitful tree of the deen. If salah comes in our life, Hazrat Umar radiyallahu anhu, he wrote to his governors, "Inna ahamma umurikum indi as-salah." The most important item is salah. Because the person who looks after his salah, then automatically the whole deen will be looked after. So let us make a firm resolution that inshallah we will perform 5 times salah regularly with jama'ah from today. If we are traveling, wherever we are, we will perform salah. We will not miss any salah from today. 5 times salah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, "Buniya al-Islamu ala khams." There are 5 fundamentals of deen. From amongst them, one is iqamus salah, to establish salah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, "Ayyul amali afzal?" Which amal is the most virtuous in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "As-salatu ala waqtiha." To perform salat at its mustahab time. So the men folk should perform their salat with jamaat in the masjid, and the women folk should perform all their 5 times salat at their mustahab time. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, explaining the benefits of salah, said in a hadith that لو أن أحدكم, that if a person from amongst you is, his house is next to a river and he takes a bath in this river 5 times a day, هل يبقى من درنه شيء, will any dirt remain on his body? The Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Rimajmain said, no, no dirt will remain on his body. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, فَذَلِكَ الصَّلَوَاتُ الْخَمْسِ يَمْهُ اللَّهُ بِهِنَّ الْخَطَايَا. This is the example of 5 times salat. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will forgive all your sins as a result of performing salat. So performance of salat. Our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Rimajmain say that إِذَا حَزَبَهُ أَمْرٌ إِذَا حَزَبَهُ أَمْرٌ بَادَرَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. If something perturbed him, if something bothered him, if something worried him, then he would go straight to salah. Why? Because he used to say, قُرَّةُ عَيْنِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ. The happiness and the coolness of my eyes lies in salah. Sometimes he would say to Bilal رضي الله عنه, يَا بِلَال, O Bilal, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ, start the iqamat of salah. Why? Arehna ya Bilal, O Bilal, give us comfort through salah. Arehna ya Bilal, O Bilal. Salat, my friends, hold fast to salah. At this precise moment, the whole world is in a turmoil. Muslims, non-Muslims alike are experiencing difficulties, adversities. There is no peace, there is no sukoon. And everybody is looking for solutions. Alhamdulillah, we have the solutions, the Qur'ani solutions. And the collective problems of the Ummah, and there are individual problems of the individuals of the Ummah. I have my problems, you have your problems, everybody has problems. And everybody is searching for magical solutions. There are no magical solutions. The greatest magical solution is sabr and salah. Sabr, remain with sabr for as long as we remain in problem. And exercise sabr, and with sabr, salah. Wow. Salah, faraiz, sunan, nawafil, perform as much salah as possible. With khushu khushu, try to keep your concentration as much as possible. Make your ruku properly, make your sadda properly, recite suratul fatiha properly. Instead of performing your salat in 5 minutes, perform it in 7 minutes. When you go in sajda, imagine that you are prostrating in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And say, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. So with love, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Murana Fazlur Rahman Sahib Ganj Muradabadi, Rahmatullahi alayhi, he used to say that when I put my forehead in sajda, then I do not feel like lifting my head from sajda. So somebody said to him that why? So he said that whenever I put my head in sajda, I feel as if I have put my head in the lap of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah is stroking my head.
Allah.
Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that a person cannot be more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than when he is in sajda. When a person is in sajda, he is the closest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we acquire closeness to somebody who we love, for example, we are meeting our brother after 2 years, and we love each other, both brothers, when they hug each other, they don't let go of each other. So when we love somebody and when we acquire that person's closeness, we do not want to move away from their closeness as quickly as we do from sajda. Allah is our beloved. And when we place our head in sajda, we are very near to Allah. So we should remain in sajda. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. There was a very pious saint. He would remain in sajda for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, 1 hour. So somebody asked him that, why do you remain in sajda for 30 minutes, 45 minutes, 1 hour? So he said that whenever I go in sajda, then this hadith comes in my mind that a person cannot be more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than when he is in sajda.
Allah.
So when I say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, and when I make intention of lifting my head, I think to myself that what if you die before returning to sajda again? You will not be able to acquire this proximity. So let me remain in sajda for a while. And he said, I say, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. But a person cannot stay in sajda forever. So he says that when I make intention again, the same thought comes in my mind that what if I am unable to return to this position again? So let me remain in this position for a bit more longer. And like this, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, 1 hour passes. Let us enjoy Salat. And let us not perform Salat only as a tick box. Even the religious and pious people perform Salat only to tick the box. Let us perform 4 rakat sunnah muakkada, sunnah ghair muakkada, 4 rakat farz, 3 rakat farz, 2 rakat farz. Let us perform 2 rakat sunnah muakkada. Let us perform 4 rakat sunnah, 2 rakat nafal, even more. And let us try to do all those things that are associated to Salah. Let us listen very carefully to the azan. When the muazzin calls the azan, let us give respect to azan. Let us become silent, whether we are in the masjid, whether we are outside, whether we are at home. Listen carefully. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And then reply, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashadu an la. Let us listen carefully and reply to the muazzin. And after the azan, let us recite durud paak salat ala nabi and read this dua. Allahumma rabba hadhihi ad-da'wati at-tamma wa as-salati al-qa'ima ati muhammadan al-wasilata wal-fadila wa ba'athu maqaman mahmudan alladhi wa'adta innaka la tukhliful mi'ad. What will Allah grant us? What will Allah grant us if we listen to the azan carefully, if we reply to the azan, if we read durud paak and then read this dua? Allah will grant us the shafaat and the intercession of our nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Simple things. Simple things. Those people who walk to the masjid. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that man ghada ila al-masjid yaw raha. Man ghada ila al-masjid yaw raha. A'addallahu lahu nuzulan fil jannati kullama ghada aw raha. That the person who walks to the masjid in the morning or the person who walks to the masjid in the evening, that every time he walks towards the masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepares a hospitality and reception for him in Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بَشْكِرُ الْمَشَّائِينَ فِي الظُّلَمِ بِالنُّورِ التَّامِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Those people who walk towards the masjid in the darkness of the night, for Salatul Isha, for Salatul Fajr, maybe for Tahajjud Salat, give them glad tidings of complete noor on the day of Qiyamah. Their faces will be shining like the 24th moon, like the 14th moon. And Allah will grant them noor when they will have to cross the sirat. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, Ala adullukum ala ma yamhullahu bihi al-khataya. Shall I not show you something? Shall I not tell you some amal which if you practice, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you your sins, wa yarfau bihi darajat, and Allah will elevate your status. The Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala said, Bala ya Rasulullah, why did O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Kasratul khuta ila al masajid. Frequent steps towards the masjid. Frequent steps to the masjid. Excessive steps towards the masjid. Who will take excessive steps towards the masjid? The one who will come for 5 times salat. Who will take excessive steps to the masjid? One who is living far away from the masjid. Excessive steps to the masjid. This will grant us forgiveness of our sins and elevation of our status. Number two, one tizaru salat ibadat salah, and to wait for salah after performing one salah. So wait for salah after performing one salah in the masjid, or wait for salah mentally after performing one salah. So you have left the masjid, but at home as well, in the shop as well, you are always thinking about the next salah. And number three, Isbagul wuzu'i alal makarehi, despite difficulties, to perform wuzu full, complete wuzu. The weather is cold and the water is cold. Despite that, a person does not carry out only the 4 farais of wuzu, but he completes the whole wuzu. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that these 3 amal will bring forgiveness of sins, number 2, elevation of status, and number 3, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these three amal associated to salat are fadalikum ribat, fadalikum ribat. These amal are a shield to protect you from the attack of shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq, my friends.
Amen.
There are so many things I want to say. So I will end here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq.
Amen.
And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviate the sufferings of all Muslims and all non-Muslims, all humans throughout the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to bring into our lives these two great solutions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us, so that we are able to solve all our problems, individual and collective, of this world and the hereafter.
Amen.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this conference. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the efforts of each and every individual who have made this conference successful, the participants, the organizers, those brothers who have exerted effort throughout the country, those brothers who have come from abroad. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the opportunity again and again to sit in pious gatherings with pious people in pious environment and to learn. My friends, wherever you come from, whichever town you come from, whichever city you come from, whichever locality you come from, please connect yourself to your local masjid, connect yourself to your local ulama and benefit from them, and worry about the everlasting life to come, that is the hereafter.
Amen.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept us all. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.